Welcome to New Hope for Living, hosted by licensed therapist Russ Porter. New Hope for Living offers practical advice and discussion on effective living as Christians in a broken and fallen world. Today, Russ talks about the transformational power of hope. Here is your host, Russ Porter.
Good afternoon and welcome to New Hope for Living. New Hope for Living is a topical call-in show where we talk about the issues of the day from a Christian counseling perspective. We are all broken people living in a broken and fallen world. I am Russ Porter. I'm the director of the New Hope Counseling Center, which is a branch of Christ the King Lutheran Ministries. New Hope Counseling Center is committed to helping people and their families overcome their struggles to walk in newness of life. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 727-595-2119. I'm going to throw out a disclaimer today, so if I say anything that sounds strange or offensive, it is because I have a cold, so I claim now that I'm not responsible for anything that happens in this next hour. So, that being said, our title for today is Bullying, Help for Both Bullies and Their Victims, and What the Rest of Us Should Be Doing. And I'm excited because in the at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be having a special guest. He is an exceptional young man who has experienced the world of bullying from both sides. He's both been a victim and he's bullied. So he'll be able to give us kind of an insider's perspective on the issue that we're talking about. Now, in general, talking about bullying, this is a fairly pervasive problem. It's something that we see in schools, we see in neighborhoods, we even see in our own families or in work settings or churches. Wherever there are people, there are bullies. And I think from the dawn of time, since there have been people where some of them were larger than others, then the people who were larger from time to time would exert their will, exert their dominance over those who were weaker. Now, the definition of bullying would be, well, I've got several definitions because there seems to not be a complete consensus on this. One definition would be that a bully is a blustering, quarrelsome, or overbearing person who habitually badgers and intimidates smaller or weaker people. Or bullying is unwanted, aggressive behavior that involves real or perceived power imbalance. Usually, you know, the person that's the bully, whether it is literal or true, they feel that they are more powerful, that they are more worthy, they're more valuable, and so they use that as their base of their thought process whenever they approach dealing with other people. And it's also known as repeated aggressive behavior intended to hurt somebody else, physically or mentally. Bullying is characterized by an individual behaving in a certain way to gain power over another person. So, this would be a time where I would suggest that you think back to your past life, and hopefully your past life, or you may have experienced some of this maybe when you were younger, where you might have been victimized by the neighborhood bully or somebody at school that would harass you or make fun of you or do something to belittle you. And hopefully less of you out there may remember back to whenever you used to, in less mature days, throw your weight around a little bit and push people around. So if you have any stories to share on the matter, if you want to talk about that, give us a call at 855-265-2929, and we'll have a good discussion on it. Now, bullies can accomplish what they are intending to do in any one of a variety of ways. There are many different forms of bullying. When you hear the term, the image that usually comes to mind is somebody out on the schoolyard that's doing some form of physical bullying. Now, it could be beating somebody up or tripping them, or you know, the ever popular classic wedgie, or it could be just threatening physical harm to somebody. You know, the idea of physically intimidating them, or popular form of bullying may not be physically harming the person, but damaging their property, damaging something that's important to them. You know, maybe taking their books and throwing them on the ground, or throwing something in mud, or I seem to remember times when somebody may have taken my basketball and just punted it or thrown it a long way away. But the whole thing is that using that physical presence, that physical power, in order to damage or belittle or harm another human being. Now, the next one that we'd talk about would be verbal. This, I think, as people would get older and, quote-unquote, more mature, maybe they won't bully through, just physical means. They'll use their words. They will box people. They will manipulate them. They will lead them around or mislead them through using their words. They may directly do it through insults, name-calling. They may say things that are demeaning or belittling. They may mock the other person. Or they may bully them by trying to be friendly with them and then deceiving them and then ending up using their words, turning them around to hurt them later on. I remember reading an anecdote from an actress in the first half of the century, and what she would do for kicks is she would meet somebody out in the street or in a restaurant or whatever and feign friendship to start up a conversation. And once in the conversation, she would gather information, and then she would have a friend of hers come up, then she would turn to that friend and take all that information that she just learned from the other person and mock the person with it. Just utterly cruel and power hungry. Now, there's the next one would be relational aggression. This is very, very popular with pre-adolescent girls. This would be kind of known as the mean girls or frenemies. This involves a lot of social manipulation, the pretending to be friends with somebody, and then when other people come around, then gang up on that person and mistreat them. It could be spreading rumors behind somebody's back, saying that they are easy or that they're stupid or that they have some sort of character flaw. It could be just ostracizing and isolating a person by just separating themselves from them. It also can be breaking confidences. Whenever you feign friendship, you may learn intimate details of that person's life. Well, with relational aggression, what you do is you take that information and you make it public knowledge. I remember I had a friend like this whenever I was a young man, and I think I was 12 or 13, and I made the mistake of telling him that I ended up liking this girl named Judy, who, in all fairness, she was quite a looker for a 12-year-old. And so what happens, though, is he immediately the next day tells the rest of the group of friends that I like this girl. And so they mocked me and they threatened to blow my secret to her and all that. And it was something that was, on its own level, kind of emotionally torturous. And that's relational aggression. Now, at the time, if you'd go back in time to when I was a 12-year-old and told me that that's what you call that form of bullying, not sure that that would have really helped make that feel any better. But it's nice to know that there's a category for these things. And something that primarily girls deal with would be sexual bullying, where there may be guys that are making comments. Now, if you think about it, what adolescence is like is adolescence is entirely unreasonable and unfair. I'm going to probably have words with God about why he invented such a time in people's lives where one leg will grow faster than another leg or hair will sprout in certain places, but not in other places, that some people will become way too tall way too soon and other people will be way too short way too late and may be early bloomers or late bloomers or non-bloomers. But, there's this whole kind of zoo-like adventure that goes on in early adolescence as people are growing in different ways. And the girls, the poor girls that are the early bloomers, they get all of the immature juvenile attention and comments from guys that notice areas of their bodies that tend to be sprouting and changing in shape. So with sexual bullying, there can be comments just about a person's appearance. It can go so far as a lot of unwanted touch. If you think about it, imagine, if you will, what a school bus is like. And getting on and off a school bus, you are brushing very, very closely to a lot of humanity. And if any of them are wanting to be grabby, there's very little that you can do to prevent that. Then there's the concept of cyberbullying. We've talked about this a bit before in one of the other shows, where you can publish hurtful images or insulting texts or emails. And the problem with this form, or even sexting, such as, let's say if a person is dating, and if a boy and girl are dating, and the girl makes the mistake of taking revealing pictures of herself and then texting to him, well, when they break up out of revenge, the boy may just publish to everybody or forward those pictures to everybody so that they could be mocked in their nakedness. And so, yeah, with cyberbullying, you know, people can start rumors. The problem with it is it's experienced as inescapable, that the bullying is everywhere all the time because it's just so constant and out there. And the last form that we'll talk about would be prejudicial bullying. That could be bullying or mocking or ostracizing somebody because of their race, because of their sexuality or their religion. Basically, things in that person's life that they may not have all consciously chosen for themselves, but being based on those specific things in particular. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the anatomy of a bully. We're also going to talk about the anatomy of a victim and some of the factors that go into this whole dynamic of bullying and victimization. I am Russ Porter, and this is New Hope for Living on Inspiration AM 1110 WTIS. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Christ the King is
more than just a place to worship.
This church is like a second family.
A place where I can grow in the Lord.
Christ the King is people reaching out to people.
I enjoy helping others.
Working within our church family.
Working with the homeless.
Christ the King is
knowing Christ
and making Him known.
Christ the King Lutheran Ministries is hundreds of people working in dozens of ministries to reach out. Visit us at ctklm.org.
When life is hard, there is hope.
I can't talk to my husband anymore.
Why am I always so angry?
I don't recognize my son anymore, let alone understand him.
Why do I let people take advantage of me?
I can't seem to get along with anybody.
Is this as good as life gets?
When life is hard, there is hope. New Hope Counseling Center is here to help. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 595-2119 to begin your journey into hope.
Jesus put his loving arms around the children because he loved the little ones so much. At Loving Arms Christian Preschool, your child will experience that kind of love.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Loving Arms Preschool is a nurturing, safe environment and open year-round. We're a quality, Christ-centered atmosphere for 1 to 6-year-olds. Loving Arms is a Florida VPK provider and offers full and part-time enrollment. Call Loving Arms Christian Preschool for a tour, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org.
Was it today or yesterday? I took my time to bide all the unimportant things inside. And you were there. I'm just a child who's going wild for his chance to be free. And all he had to do was follow me. That's what I see. Life by living goes away.
Welcome back to New Hope for Living. This is Russ Porter. We are talking about bullying, help for both bullies and their victims, and what the rest of us should be doing. And that little clip of music you're hearing, I want you to realize that is from someone named Harrison Ivaz and the Harrison Ivaz Band. That kid is 12 years old, or he was 12 years old when he recorded that and a video with it. It's just very, very impressive. I was telling Jody, our engineer, that the hook from that song has kind of been bouncing around my head for the last couple of days. Give us a call if you want to weigh in on the bullying discussion at 855-265-2929. Now, where we left off in the discussion a little earlier was we were about to talk about the anatomy of a bully. What are characteristics that we typically see with bullies? Well, the list includes that bullies have the need, no surprise, to feel powerful and in control. They have a need for attention. Usually there's some form of audience, even if not immediately observing the bullying event, that they're going to call attention to it. Because bullies in general have a need to feel superior. And they end up with that superiority, they feel like they're not doing anything immoral or anything wrong. Bullies tend to have little or no empathy, or at least when it comes to the victims of their actions. They are quick to feel anger and aggression. They tend to have quick triggers. And part of them enjoys inflicting pain and suffering. Now, where does this come from? You know, what would be behind that? There have been many, many theories over the years, and a lot of them have actually, when researched, turned out to be a bit misguided. And one of the big things, particularly for middle school age kids, the boys in particular, is it's all about establishing their own social power and status. They are trying to kind of carve out their own niche to get the respect, to get, you know, just some sort of power and status. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that and how that factor can actually be used to diffuse some of the bullying dynamic. Bullies, the factors contributing would be exerting power as a response to maybe feeling powerless in other areas of their life. Perhaps in their home life, they are they're not experiencing the love and nurturing and stable environment that they would want. And so their frustrations kind of just get passed down the line. And so they end up kicking the lowest dog they can find, or the person they feel like they can manipulate the most. Also, there is some people can be rewarded for exerting such dominance over other people. We live in kind of a cruel world, if you haven't noticed. And in the United States, in some ways, although we are the most civilized, we're also the most uncivilized. Because there's a lot of social messages out there that actually encourage bullying and exerting dominance. One would be that the concept of the survival of the fittest, that we tend to applaud people who manage to win the fight, who manage to be on top and manage to defeat a weaker opponent. You know, we will stand up and we will cheer. And I think, yeah, maybe that's part of being the United States, because in so many sports for so many years, we've happened to dominate competition, you know, like in the Olympics. Also, we have this attraction in our nation for strength and dominance, being the big dog. We also have gotten to a point where we admire a lot of trash talking and being overly direct, and that, you know, some aggressive part of us just really chimes in with that. So that creates a societal factor where we, you know, we kind of support the bully because the bully is strong. The big myth, though, is that bullying does not come from a lack of self-esteem. Research keeps occurring and keeps confirming that bullies actually have really good self-esteem. And that's part of the problem. And seeing themselves as superior and that lack of empathy, they feel good about themselves even after doing horrific things to other people. In their minds, they think, well, that person deserves it because they are a lower class of person, or for whatever reason, they justify it to themselves, and they tend to sleep really well at night, at least at that stage of their lives. You know, I think back to, you know, a chapter of my life that I'm not entirely proud of, but whenever I was a young man, when I was a teenager, yeah, I played a lot of sports, and I was certain that the referees were conspiring against me to miss fouls in basketball, to make calls wrong in baseball. And pretty much I was pretty hideous to these referees, that, you know, if they miss a call, I would, you know, make noise, I would bark at them, I would complain. Even after one intramural basketball game in high school, The referee, which was a moonlighting teacher, pulled me aside and confronted me pretty hard. And I really didn't get it. I didn't get the effect of my behavior until one day when I was at a softball game and I was there rooting for a certain team, and they did not have an umpire to call balls and strikes, so they asked me to do that. And we had one guy on the team from our church who was a big hulk of a guy. Just, you know, pleasant enough, but quiet, but if he really wanted to, he could probably squash your head like a grape. So I had the pleasure of calling balls and strikes on him, and whenever he was up, I saw a ball come in, and I called strike three. I rang him up, And the glowering look that he gave me without saying a word as he slowly made his way back to the bench made me think, holy crud, this is what I have been subjecting people to all along. And the light bulb came on. I realized, wow, I was being a horrible jerk. So after that, I tried to be a little kinder and gentler for the people who were referees. I developed empathy for the referees. Now, I may lose that come football season if somebody blows a call that ends up hurting the Buccaneers, but that's a topic for another day. Now, you know, we're talking about those dynamics of those factors of bullying. We need to go on the other side and look at the victims, the effects that bullying has on them. What can come out of it in the short term is the victims can feel a lot of anxiety and depression. They end up having an erosion of their confidence because when they're around the bullies, they continue to be demeaned and humiliated. Many experience suicidal thoughts. In fact, research shows that more than 50% of all people who claim to have been bullied mention that they have suicidal thoughts, that they are feeling that hopeless because of the situation. Sometimes it can also lead to physical illness. Diminished self-esteem. They can feel rage. And of course, you know, we see all these stories about Columbine and these other school shootings. Almost universally, the people who end up committing those shootings end up stating that part of the factors contributing to it was that they were bullied and that this was their retaliation. Now, the long-term effects is that a person who's been bullied a lot, they can end up having a tendency to repeat that victim experience. So they underachieve. There's a higher dropout rate of high school students that have been bullied. They have difficulty holding jobs, and they have a difficult time with social relationships. Now, the anatomy of a victim is that they are often smaller physically, or at least smaller in terms of personality. Sometimes there's parental abuse or some misconduct, and they leave that child with no knowledge of how to have proper relationships. You know, last week we talked about boundaries and how abuse and neglect can fail to equip a kid with having a sense of boundaries and how, when, and where they need to protect themselves. Victims tend to have limited popularity or low social status. They're seen as the outsiders. And they often exude some level of insecurity of weakness, which often leads to this pattern of repeated victimization throughout their lives. Because of this, bullies and victims find each other. It's like blood in the water for sharks. They will find, the bullies will find people that are good targets. And this is not to say that victims cause their own victimization. They're not responsible for that, but they just don't know how to put themselves in situations where they're safe. They do things that inadvertently target them for some of this abuse. And so, you know, it's a very difficult thing. The victims can end up being scarred for many, many years afterwards and have a very skewed version, a very skewed look at what life is like and what relationships are like. So this is why this is such a pervasive topic to talk about. When we return, we're going to talk to Chris about his experiences being on both sides of the bullying equation. Now, if this describes your situation or the situation of a family member, perhaps one of your kids, and you're in need of counseling to deal with bullying issues, or any other issues for that matter, call New Hope Counseling Center at 727-595-2119. We'd love to talk with you about how we could be of help. I am Russ Porter, and this is New Hope for Living on Inspiration AM 1110, WTIS. Jesus.
Listening to the home of the Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey shows, Inspiration Radio, AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa.
With IRN, USA News, I'm Precious Watson. Syria's UN envoy on Wednesday requested that Secretary General Ban Ki-moon order a UN team of chemical experts currently in Damascus to investigate three rebel attacks in which he believes Syrian soldiers inhaled poisonous gas. A military jury on Wednesday sentenced a U.S. Army psychiatrist to death for the 2009 mass murder of 13 people, mostly unarmed soldiers, at Fort Hood, Texas. Egypt's cabinet approved on Wednesday an additional 22.3 billion Egyptian pounds in spending on investment projects to boost the economy over the coming 10 months. Egypt's deputy prime minister said the government would present its economic program to Gulf Arab countries, in particular the United Arab Emirates, which has already agreed to finance medical projects in 10 wheat silos. The army-backed interim government is keen to improve conditions for a deeply polarized population. You're listening to IRN USA News.
Wanting to lose some weight and take control of your health but not sure how? Dr. Wayne Anderson, co-founder and medical director of Take Shape for Life and author of the new book Discover Your Optimal Health, says it starts by understanding how important your health is.
The two things that I found fundamentally critical for long-term success is having a coach. So people that have lost weight, got healthy. The second part are using our meal replacements from MetaFast. It costs no more than regular food. You eat one every 3 hours along with a healthy lean and green meal, and you lose 2 to 5 pounds in the first couple weeks and then 1 to 2 pounds after that. We focus on all your daily choices, and over time we help you create long-term success versus being on this diet for a few days or a few months.
What else? Get your Z's.
People know that they need to eat healthier, they know they need to move, but they don't realize that sleep is a critical part of both their health as well as in maintaining a healthy weight. In fact, there's great studies coming out. It's critical for long-term health, too.
To learn more, go to www.drabook.com.
There are many debt relief plans.
Traffic and service of Ocean Bingo, East Bay and Keene in Largo. Southbound 275 exit to Almerton, got a crash there, so that's going to slow your ride down, my friends. Also southbound about the 275 mile marker in Wesley Chapel area. And southbound coming off the 275-75 split, this accident off to the side on 275. Northbound exit ramp from the Veterans Expressway to Anderson Road, got a crash. Ocean Bingo has nonstop bingo action every afternoon and evening. Play one game or stay all day. Specials, jackpots, and more each hour in Largo, East Bay, and Keene. Next to Save a Lot Online, OceanBingo.net. I'm Dave Anderson with you. Inspiration AM 1110 WTIS.
Jesus put his loving arms around the children because he loved the little ones so much. At Loving Arms Christian Preschool, your child will experience that kind of love.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Loving Arms Preschool is a nurturing, safe environment and open year-round. We're a quality, Christ-centered atmosphere for 1 to 6-year-olds. Loving Arms is a Florida VPK provider and offers full and part-time enrollment. Call Loving Arms Christian Preschool for a tour. 727-595-2112 or visit ctklm.org. 727-595-2112 or visit ctklm.org.
Welcome back to New Hope for Living. I am Russ Porter, the director of the New Hope Counseling Center. Just a reminder, if you are getting out of your car and you want to continue to listen into the show, that you can download the TuneIn app on your mobile device and just search for WTIS, and you can get all this good information from this and all the other fine shows in WTIS's programming just right there in the palm of your hand. Also, I'd like to encourage you to visit the WTIS Facebook page, toss us a like, and stay in the stream of the things that we've got going on. We're going to continue our discussion on bullying, help for both bullies and their victims, and what the rest of us should be doing. Give us a call, please, at 855-265-2929 if you'd like to tell us about your bullying experiences on either side of the coin. Now, at the moment, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Chris. Now, Chris is a remarkable young man who is he's part of the youth group at Christ the King Lutheran Church, and I've had the pleasure of talking to him and know a little bit about his story. And so he has, he's able to give some insight from both sides of the bullying coin. Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome to New Hope for Living.
Hey, Russ. Okay, so my story on bullying goes back to when I was a young kid, about third grade.
Okay.
You know, I just came in town, new kid, you know, a whole bunch of stuff went on beforehand, and the kids weren't all too nice. They made fun of me because I went through the hurricanes and, you know, I just blew in and didn't really seem too nice at first.
So you were a little shell-shocked, and that was from Katrina, am I remembering correctly? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what would the kids do to you or say to you?
The first thing that happened was they had a project due that I wasn't a part of, and one of the kids called his town Katrina Town, which, you know, I felt was extremely rude in the fact that his town looked extremely ruined and destroyed, and that really bugged me. I basically left the room and I started crying.
How did the teacher respond to that?
The teacher really didn't do anything. The teacher just sat there, graded his project, and then sent someone out to come get me back in the class.
Okay. So the teacher doesn't sound like they were particularly compassionate or well-equipped to deal with that.
No, not at all.
Now, for you, was it just something that was in third grade, or was this something that's kind of followed you around since then, this, you know, being the victim of bullying?
It's been ever since then. You know, I moved from one place to another, and then the bullying starts. It started in third grade and even, went into the middle of my sophomore year.
So what does the bullying look like more recently, I guess, you know, in that freshman and sophomore year? Because I'm thinking you've changed schools, and there are some different kids, but the one theme that kept happening was that people would still bully you.
Yeah. Basically, they would just, from sophomore year and freshman year and, you know, middle school, they would bully me because I wasn't exactly like everybody else, because I had, you know, a couple of things wrong up top, so I wouldn't act normal, and I'd have, you know, times where I'd just be completely and utterly weird, and, you know, they would bully me for that. And they would also bully me because I had a little bit of a cutting issue back in eighth grade.
Okay. So these things that kind of set you outside of the mainstream, they would target that and they would mock and make fun of you, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, and how did that affect you emotionally, or how did that affect your behavior?
That really gave me a negative outlook on things. I got into a few fights with the kids. You know, I started picking fights with people because I felt that everybody was out to get me. So I just knocked people down before they could do such to me.
Well, you know, they say the best defense is a good offense. Yeah. And it sounds like that your perspective on the world just looked like, to you, it was an unfriendly place, so punch it before it punches me.
Yeah.
Now, would you say that was kind of the element that transitioned you into pushing some other kids around?
I would definitely say so. You know, I mean, I've heard that bullies have to have, or usually have something happen to them before they do things to other kids, so I guess that was kind of like my trigger to beat up on other kids for no really good reason.
Well, and I would think that you know, logic tells me too, and you felt powerless in all those other situations. If you find somebody that seems weaker than you, if you can push them around, then that gives you a sense of power and control over something. And since nobody bothered to protect you or you know, be nice to you, then I guess you probably didn't feel any great obligation to be nice to the weaker kid.
Definitely. I mean, why should I have, you know, bothered to look out for the weak person? And as you said, if nobody even bothered to look out for me, I mean, you know, build myself up. That's what I had to do.
Well, and who was it? Were there any particular people that were more likely to catch your dark side?
It was more or less the kids who were, you know, the popular kids, the higher-up kids, the kids who really didn't know all about what they were talking about, you know. And then there are other occasions of, you know, the shortest kid in class, the skinniest kid, you know, just the people that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty low-risk bullying on your part, then, because the shortest and the skinniest were probably less capable of physically defending themselves, and if nobody already liked them, then you weren't going to lose social status by pushing them around. They sound like they were all pre-pushed around before you even got there.
Yeah.
And how did people respond whenever you would push them around? Would they, you know, would they laugh at the kids too, or would they tell you that you were being mean?
Oh no, they would laugh the same way that, you know, people laughed at me when I first started getting bullied.
And so you were kind of trying to make your way up the social ladder there by taking what you suffered and turning that into a strength, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you could say I made it, you know, I made myself big by beating up other kids and, you know, making myself in person.
Well, so what turned it around for you?
I'd have to say talking with my parents.
Oh, wait a minute, that's just a crazy thought. You actually talk to your parents?
Well, on occasions, when they're not being completely mean.
Okay, well, I guess that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But so they helped walk you through, I guess, finding other coping skills, maybe, or just your help you change your perspective? How did it all work?
Pretty much beforehand, you know, they found out I had an issue with being bullied and bullying, and they sent me to a multitude of people to talk to, and then what we figured out is that I had to talk to them because they did one of the better jobs at figuring out what they needed to do, so
okay.
We sat down, we talked with my teachers about, you know, how I can keep myself from, you know, being the bully.
Okay, so they kind of advocated for you.
Yeah.
They actually got directly involved. And before they did that, did you have a more negative view of them?
Yeah, I did. I did have, you know, negative outcome on that. It pretty much spiraled before my parents even got involved. Things got worse and worse and, you know, talking with people other than my parents just made me even more angry and, you know, more likely to beat up people.
Well, and I think sometimes, too, when we're kids and we're going through things, we assume that our parents are not able or willing to relate, that maybe we'd be bugging them or annoying them, or they'd get mad if we brought this to them. And when we're kids, when we get to experience our parents actually stepping in and championing our cause and what we need, yeah, you know, that can dramatically change the way a person, you know, looks at the world. Well, at this point in your life, and you're 17 now, yes?
I'm 16, turning 17.
Oh, well, that changes everything that you said. No, okay. So you're almost 17. So at this point, what would you say, which role would you be more likely to slip into, the bullying or the being bullied?
You know, I don't really think I could choose sides on that one because I've had equal amounts of both. I've had the equal amount of being the bully, and I've had just about the same amount of being bullied. So I really couldn't choose sides on that.
Okay. So I guess it just depends on the circumstance and...
Yeah.
Excuse me, and whether or not you are kind of working those coping skills. And that,
yeah.
Because it seems like it's something that you have to stay on in order to keep a balanced perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, before I let you go to do all that homework that kids your age seem so fond of, what advice or words would you give to the people out there that are on the bully side of things?
Well, for the kids who are on the bullied side of things, I would just basically say, don't take, you know, the bullying from anyone. If you're being bullied, pretty much the first people you go to, don't go to the teachers because the school really does nothing about it. First people you go to are your parents because they will do what they can to keep everything from happening to you, whether it be they have to go talk to the administrators or whatever.
Well, that's true, because they have a vested interest with you. Now, the school, even if you're at a good school, it's still a job in that they're not going to care for you and fight for you the same way that your parents might. So
yeah.
That is good advice. Now, the people who are the bullies, what advice might you give them?
For the people who are the bullies, my basic advice is, you definitely need to talk with someone about that, because if you are a bully and you feel really guilty about what you're doing to other people, then my suggestion is go find a counselor, not at school, but like outside of school, like a psychologist, and talk with them about it, because they can give you different resources on how you can take everything built up inside of you and just release it in a non-outrage and anger way of doing things.
Okay. Well, this is good advice from a man who is in the middle of all of it, and I greatly appreciate you coming on today, Chris, and hope you have a good day, and I look forward to seeing you around campus.
All right. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Take care, Chris.
You too.
All right. Well, there you go. We have the words from a man who is experiencing it and has experienced it from both sides. And so often we can talk about these different problems from an academic standpoint, from outside of it. You know, the teachers have ideas, politicians have ideas, therapists have ideas. But for the people that are actually in the thick of it, they're the ones that are going to have the best perspective on what works and what doesn't work. All right, well, after the break, we're going to talk about what we can do to combat this issue from all sides, and in particular, what our role as bystanders needs to be. This is New Hope for Living. I am Russ Porter on Inspiration AM WTIS.
Christ the King is
more than just a place to worship.
This church is like a second family.
A place where I can grow in the Lord.
Christ the King is people reaching out to people.
I enjoy helping others.
Working within our church family.
Working with the homeless.
Christ the King is
knowing Christ
and making Him known.
Christ the King Lutheran Ministries is hundreds of people working in dozens of ministries to reach out. Visit us at ctklm.org.
When life is hard, there is hope.
I can't talk to my husband anymore.
Why am I always so angry?
I don't recognize my son anymore, let alone understand him.
Why do I let people take advantage of me?
I can't seem to get along with anybody.
Is this as good as life gets?
When life is hard, there is hope. New Hope Counseling Center is here to help. Call New Hope Counseling Center at 595-2119 to begin your journey into hope.
Jesus put his loving arms around the children because he loved the little ones so much. At Loving Arms Christian Preschool, your child will experience that kind of love. Loving Arms Preschool is a nurturing, safe environment and open year-round. We're a quality, Christ-centered atmosphere for 1 to 6-year-olds. Loving Arms is a Florida VPK provider and offers full and part-time enrollment. Call Loving Arms Christian Preschool for a tour, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org, 727-595-2112, or visit ctklm.org.
No one sits with him, he doesn't fit in. But we feel like we do when we make fun of him. Cause you want to belong, do you go along? Cause his pain is the price paid for you to belong. It's not like you hate him or want him to die, but
welcome back to New Hope for Living. I am still Russ Porter, and we are still talking about bullying. And I'm thinking about now, looking at the clock, I almost wish we would have expanded this into 2 shows, because there's just so much information, and having the insight of somebody in the middle of that is profoundly telling. But let's get to, like I want to call, the solution side of the coin, the solution side of the show. Let's talk about what we can do. How can we help people who have been victimized? And, you know, one of the things is that the obvious thing that steps out is, you know, what can we do from the outside to protect these people? How can we manage the environment to eliminate or minimize the bullying? And, you know, how can we separate them out? And there are things that can be done in our institutions, like, you know, in schools and in church and things like that. But that really doesn't solve the problem. That just keeps the match from igniting 1 or 2 times more. I think the big thing is the validation. You know, like Chris's story, when he went to his parents, they took him seriously. They listened to him, they heard his experience, and they took action on it. And that, you know, a lot of times in life, we may not need a whole lot, but if we think that somebody actually believes what we say and understands what our experience is, that can be huge for our mental health and our sense of self. So we need to help victims find their voice. We need to help them speak up and not just suffer in silence. We also need to help them react less in the moment, because a lot of times what bullies will do, they'll perpetrate these actions because they want to see the splash. They want to see the reaction. They want to see tears. They want to see fear. And that it ends up becoming great drama and great theater for them. So when victims react less and less and less, if, you know, somebody knocks the books out of their hands, if they just wait and then they pick up the books without having a big reaction, that takes away a little bit of the fun for it. The other thing, too, is to help them build their strengths. They may not be the most physically imposing people, but if they're smart, if they build on their intellect, if they have particular talents, if they build that, then they can feel confident in those areas, and then they're better able to withstand rejection in some areas. And, you know, like Chris had said, being able to stand up for themselves, you know, with their voice, or even fighting back if need be. And yeah, this is kind of controversial, because you don't want to advocate violence in order to defeat violence. But I think about with one of my kids, you know, when they were in third or fourth grade, there was a kid on the playground of school that was just kind of mean and pushing him around some. And then one day I come home and he had gotten a referral because this kid wouldn't let him get up on the monkey bars, and he had enough. And so he ended up punching the kid in the chest. You know, that kid tells the teacher, and then our son gets in trouble. He gets a referral. And my wife came to me and she said, well, what do we need to do with our son? And I said, well, let's ask him where he wants to go out to eat. because he did what was necessary. It was a proportional response to what was being done to him. He actually found his strength. He stood up for himself, and it ended up changing that dynamic with that relationship. That kid didn't mess with him again. Yeah, he got a referral because he did it on school grounds, but he actually counted himself as valuable enough to stay strong. And we needed to validate that message. We need to empower the people that are victims. Now, help for bullies. Well, then what can you do with a bully? Now, the biggest thing, I think, is to challenge their lack of empathy. If you can humanize the effects of what they're doing and create some appropriate shame, kind of like I ended up experiencing with the referees, then there's a chance that will take the wind out of the sails, and then that will make it less fun. So interestingly enough, Proverbs 6, there's a section in there, 16 to 19, talks about there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And every one of those things describe what bullies do. And if you think about it, if a bully would actually come face to face with that scripture and realize, like, wow, I'm kind of acting like an abomination, that's not good. And so we try to hold accountable for the behavior, and if we can take that social status out of there. And that's what, you know, with the bystander dynamic, 85% of people are around observing these activities, but bystanders tend to be inactive. Maybe we fear the bully turning on us. Or maybe, you know, like Chris was saying, ganging up on the victim because you might dislike that person. Or maybe you want to just kind of pile on, or wanting to distance from the victim. Or being conflict avoidant, not willing to step up and stand up on behalf of the victim. The key to this is that social status is important to the bully. They want that audience. If bystanders clearly and immediately disapprove and show their support to the victim, the game is no longer fun. The bullies will shrink. Now, maybe not 100% of the time, but as a theme, if you keep giving the message that what they're doing is incorrect and that they should knock it off, eventually that is going to wear down that behavior. So we can also create and support a climate of inclusion. The people that are the outliers, the outsiders, the ones that are, as Chris said, a little bit weird. If we end up making them feel welcome and safe, that kind of just shifts that whole social dynamic. We are capable in and of ourselves of either granting social status by approval and inclusion, or removing social status by ostracizing. Psalms 82, 3-4 says that we are to give justice to the weak and the fatherless. We are to maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And that's what we need to do to those who are being bullied, whether they're kids or whether they're adults. So in closing, today we've discussed the world of bullying, and we've explored the reaches of its nature and the effects of its victims. We talked about what fuels and motivates bullies and ways victims stay trapped in their roles. We talked with Chris, who has experienced both sides of the issue, and we talked about how we as bystanders need to change the climate of bullying in the world around us, that this is a charge that Christ himself gives us. Well, thank you for listening to New Hope for Living, and a special thank you to Chris for calling in and sharing in our discussion. Please check out the New Hope for Living website at WTIS1110.com and the Facebook page. Join us for next week's show entitled Dealing with Difficult People. You can't live with them, and you can't kill them. It's my hope that today you found a little hope through what you've heard. And until next week, be well and God bless.
You have been listening to New Hope for Living. The content of New Hope for Living is intended for entertainment and general information purposes. It is not designed to provide listeners with specific and personal counseling or professional service or advice. The programs are not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disorder. Listeners should not infer that a personal or professional relationship has been established with the host. Any advice or information discussed on this radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the advice of your own doctor or therapist. If you feel you're in need of professional help, please contact your local mental health agency, your insurance provider, or 911 for a referral.
Weekday afternoons may never be the same. Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey, back to back, right here on Inspiration Radio, WTIS, Tampa.